This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
January can be a tough month when it comes to food and nutrition. There's a lot of pressure to start fresh, try new diets and do everything perfectly from day one. And to help us cut through the noise, I'm joined by Davey Nutrition, who's here to chat about simple, realistic nutrition improvements and how to avoid feeling overwhelmed by all of the new year, new me advice. Daniel, thanks so much for joining me on iRadio's group chat. January, obviously, it brings a big focus on food and on health. What do you notice people struggling with the most at this time of the year?
Probably rushing in. Taking too much on, and also, you know, there's a lot of chat this time of year, as you've quite rightly pointed out, and I think that sometimes people get a little bit caught up in what others are doing and others' journey, and not spending enough time really thinking about what will work for them. And I think that's a really important part of this, where you narrow your focus to yourself. And know, like, what are your priorities? What are the things that are going to make a difference to you? And one other really important part, I suppose, is to try and extend it beyond this time period. It's what do you feel can make a difference to you this year, rather than just thinking about it for this month?
In fairness, January, it's kind of like it's all or nothing. I feel like you're either completely boycotting all of the resolutions when it comes to food and nutrition, or you're going maybe the other extreme and trying to set out a whole new diet plan for yourself. What is one common nutrition mistake people tend to make around this time of the year when they're trying to start fresh?
I think the most common thing is like that they go after one particular food group. Or they target something, like they think that carbohydrate or the bread and the pasta and the potatoes, that has to go, it's the problem. And people forget that maybe over the past, not just the last 2 weeks, but even the whole lead into Christmas, there's a change in behaviors. You mightn't be exercising as much. And then there's more calories coming in. So the biggest thing that you can do is create a little bit more structure on how you eat. Rather than going after any reduction of food groups or saying, right, that's the end of the bread. It's just trying to create that little bit of simplicity. And I always tell people, if you can focus on a better process and understand what meals that you're going to have, when you're going to be training, and getting a little bit, I know I'm kind of jumping the gun here, but if you can get a little bit more protein, fiber and water in, rather than what you're going to take out, that can make a real difference to how you feel.
I know that you've kind of touched on it there. The likes of the trends, you know, where you are cutting food groups out, or the keto diets, or the intermittent fasting, or something that's low carb. Are there risks associated with following very restrictive diets without professional guidance?
I think the last few words that you used are fundamental to that. And I saw a piece of research that shows that how the type of personality that you have actually does have a big impact. So if you are somebody who's guided and you, let's say, for example, you adopt a ketogenic diet for very specific purposes, and every nutrient and all of the other things are made up in your diet, enough calories, enough protein, then I'm absolutely not in any way encouraging people to do it, but it's very different than just doing it on your own. So if you create something that is totally unsustainable, then that can leave you in a worse place in 4 or 5 weeks' time. So rather than, you know, focusing too much on the implications of it, like from a metabolic perspective or from a loss of muscle mass and things like that, because that they're the things that can be suggested as issues with these approaches. It's much more about how all of these more restrictive approaches can leave you feeling. It can leave. I work with a lot of clients who come to me halfway through the year, and you know, they've been on these cycles where they've said, "I've tried everything." Well, it's because you've gone from one extreme to another, which is totally unrealistic. And no matter how many times people hear that, it's very easy to fall into those traps, because there's often success stories associated with them.
What are some easy habits then? Well, I say easy, maybe straightforward habits that can help things without a full diet overhaul, which people tend to probably go for first.
We've known for about 30, 40 years what is very effective. And if you can find different ways to make the recommendations stick, it can go an awful long way. So people who have a consistent structure around how you eat. I mean, one of the reasons intermittent fasting is so attractive is because it's simple. It creates a very clear guideline. You eat during these hours and you don't eat during these hours. So it's that simplicity that people need to bring to their nutrition. So I usually say if you can eat three main meals and a snack in every 3 to 4 hours and have a protein source at each one, those like that two very simple step process makes a big difference to continuity, your energy levels. You start to feel better, your appetite is regulated. And then if you can very simply add in more fluid, like more water day to day, those kind of things. So now we've got a meal structure, we've got more protein, more fluids, and that's kind of back to where I started. If you can do that, that really can help people, particularly at this phase of the year, give them a bit of simplicity and clarity.
It's all about having a bit of a framework, I think. You know,
exactly.
I think that's what makes things a little bit more straightforward and approachable for people. And I'm sure, obviously, nutrition aside, it's extremely important to combine this with exercise and with movement that like works for whoever's implementing a plan like this.
And I'd add sleep into the equation as well, because after the Christmas period, our circadian rhythm, so that's our natural internal our clock, our biological, that clock is out of sync because we've slept in, we might have consumed alcohol, our sleep patterns are disrupted. So getting back into some really good healthy habits around when we wake, when we go to bed, winding down at nighttime, and setting up our home environment for good sleep. And that's can make a huge difference, because all of these things work together. The more the better quality sleep that we have, the more consistent we'll be with our nutrition. When we put those two together, it's easier to be consistent with our exercise. So all of these help with how we feel. And when we start to feel better, we generate that bit of momentum. So the exercise component and planning your meals around when you're going to train or exercise, and building in, even if, like, I would look at what were you doing consistently in towards the end of 2025, and just take one step beyond that. So if you were training once a week, can you get that up to twice a week? Or if you weren't walking, getting out to walk. Those are the very simple. So don't think now I'm going to start training 3 or 4 days a week if you weren't doing anything at all.
It would be nearly like setting yourself up to fail, I imagine, in some ways. I suppose I've been there even myself with any type of resolution. You take, you go all at it and throw everything into it, and then you burn out very, very, very quickly. I know that there is a tendency after the Christmas period, as you touched on there, with sleep being all over the place. I mean, you're getting up in the morning and you feel like it's the middle of the night because you've been going to bed late, or you've been having maybe not enough sleep. People probably will go for the caffeine this week to try and get themselves along. When is too much caffeine? Like, when do you hit the limit? When would you tell people that I think you've had enough caffeine? Because I know it can affect the way that you live your life, and also sleep then in return, and have an impact on nutrition.
I would think about it even more so from a kind of a cutoff period. Now, there's a very individual response to caffeine. So, for example, I'm really sensitive to it. So I try and have my last coffee by about 11 o'clock in the morning. So it's about having that kind of timeline, because it can stay in your system. There's a guy I was working with before Christmas, and he was telling me that he would have coffees in the afternoon and sleep was a big problem. And I said, have you ever tried setting even 12 o'clock as your final stop for consumption of coffee and caffeine? He said no. Anyway, follow up a couple of weeks later, and he couldn't believe the difference that it makes. And he hadn't really put that together. He didn't realize it stayed in your system that long. So not just with the volume of it, but the timing of it is really important. And then, you know, what's the volume? because let's say, for example, I would have a flat white or something like that type of coffee in the morning, which has two shots in it. And the recommendation is generally between 5 and 6 shots or cups of coffee being the guideline. So can you have that amount of coffee earlier in the day? And then, like you said, people will be a little bit more dependent on it earlier in January and trying to use, even if it's keeping within that recommendation as the month goes on, I think that's very reasonable.
Caffeine really is very individualistic, because I think even though when you were saying there about the 5 or 6 shots of coffee, I actually think if I had that much coffee, I'd keel over on the ground. I actually would. Like, I have such a low tolerance, but then other people will be really upping the ante. So it's good to know about maybe cutoff times as a priority.
And there will be people who are listening who drink coffee in the evening and it doesn't affect their sleep. And that's just the personalization of nutrition.
Yeah, it's all very up to what your body does and what your body needs as well. If people have been listening to you this evening, Daniel, where can they find Davey Nutrition on socials if they want to find out more from you?
Yeah, you'll find me on Instagram. I've even started putting some stuff up on TikTok and YouTube, and you'll find it under my name, Daniel Davey, or Davey Nutrition, as you said. And I suppose for listeners, it's nice for them to know as well that we're really going after the active family focus. So if you've got somebody in the house that's focused on sport and wants to understand nutrition for performance better, that's something we're really targeting now.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on iRadio's group chat for this nutrition chat this evening, Daniel, and I'm sure we'll catch up to you again on iRadio's group chat.
Thank you.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.